All right, good evening, everyone. It's good to see each one of you. I'm happy to be here. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm using a lapel mic today, and for good reason, of which you will find out very shortly. Except for that echo. How about I turn that off? Okay. Well, first things first, I want to welcome each of you here in the name of Christ. It's good to be here this evening with each one of you. I want to welcome all those who are joining us online. It's good to be meeting with you in your homes or wherever you're watching as well. And I hope that if there are any that are watching or listening to this message in the future, I hope that this finds you well. Let's get started. Can you guys see that behind me okay? I'm going to start out with a story. This is in Luke chapter 9, verses 20 through 26. We're going to do a little digging. So let's get started with this. Verse 20. He said unto them, this is Christ speaking. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. There's a lot to unpack there. As I go through this sermon tonight and before I continue, I've had a lot of thoughts about the message tonight, and I ask for your prayers. I'm going to try to thread a needle. And even as I had this presentation sitting here and projected up before I stood, I was even editing the notes before the service started because there's so many things that I want to talk about and so many thoughts that I want to get out to you clearly and succinctly. And so I ask for your prayers in that. And I'm asking that before we go on to the next part of this, which is a similar part of this story. And I wanted to start off with this because this sets the foundation for our discussion tonight. Similarly, I want to read in Matthew. This is 16, 21 through 27. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. As I said, I wanted to dig in a little bit to this. Two similar stories, but here in Matthew, we get the rebuke of Peter, a very powerful rebuke. You know, I'll be honest with you. If I was Peter, I don't blame him for saying that. Here he is walking with Christ, someone that he loves, someone that he's seen do miracles, someone that he has devoted his life to following. And Christ is telling him some pretty hard stuff, that he must go to Jerusalem, that he's going to suffer all these things, that he's going to be killed. and that he's going to be raised again on the third day. And Peter said, not so. What was Christ's reaction? And why did Christ react this way? Christ had already gone, by this point, through those temptations. Satan had tempted him. Christ had been put in a position to be tempted and had a chance to forego the cross by giving into those temptations. As we all know, Christ did not give in to those temptations. Christ did not forego the cross, and yet here Peter was presenting him something. Presenting him an opportunity again, telling him, be it far from thee, Lord, that these things are going to happen to you. Christ's rebuke was direct and strong. It was powerful. Peter didn't want to hear Christ talking about doing something like that. Doing something that was uncomfortable. Doing something that was unimaginably, at least to me, unimaginably difficult and hard. What gifts was Peter denying by trying to keep Christ from suffering? Christ said that if anyone is to go after him or follow him, there's a couple things we have to do. First one, deny yourself. Okay? Second one, take up your cross daily. All right. Third one, follow Jesus Christ. No biggie. Those are simple, right? I see my grandma shaking her head no. I trust you, Granny. That's right. It's not simple. One thing I want to point out, one thing that Peter knew was hard for Christ, one thing Christ knew himself, was that the things that he was going to suffer were incredibly hard. And one thing I want to point out to each one of you and myself, these three things that we have up here, that Christ has told us that if we are to follow him, we have to do, are not easy. This, your life that you are living now, you sitting in these pews, the choice that you have made to follow Jesus Christ is not easy. Denying ourselves, the concept of that, that's very hard. We have to set aside things. We have to exercise introspection. This is not easy. Take up your cross daily. Crucify ourselves, our self-will to God's. Follow Jesus Christ, be obedient. Follow his commandments. These things are hard. Verse 23. This is Christ talking. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. If you could, let's remember that sentence as we go along tonight. Let me get through this. Okay, as I've highlighted it here, if you could remember this, I have some stuff to talk about with you that is a little personal to me tonight. I have some confessions. I have a fear. My fear is that, much like Christ tells Peter, I could be an offense to him. That I am or could be an offense because I savor the things that are of men. And I don't have my affection or my mind or my interest on the things of God. Have you ever felt the same? Peter, when he said these things to Christ, he said them to him out of, I'm sure, concern. He didn't want to see Christ suffer. He didn't want to see Christ have to go through these hard things. I'm sure he meant well. But Christ reminded him that he is savoring the things that are not of God, that he is concerned of those things of men. He's concerned with not suffering, with not going through hard things. I have this same fear. Do you feel that way now? I want to read again. This is from 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. We're going to read a couple scriptures here. I'm going to pull this up separately as well. I'm about to shed this jacket, and if I take a walk, I want to make sure that I got this mobile. Okay, so 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I'm going to admit something to you again. This is going to be a night of me talking and confessing and many things to you. That doesn't sound very fun. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound fun. I highlighted this verse and underlined it because we're kind of hinting and getting at the message of my sermon tonight. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This grace, this divine influence on the heart. One second. I want to back up, and I want to go to Ether, chapter 5. Ether 5, 23 through 29. We just read about strength. And I'm going to read this, Ether 5, 23 through 29. I'm going to read this from my book, but I only have verses 27 through 29 up here. This is Ether 5, 23 through 29. As we go through these scriptures, stick with me. It may feel like hopping around, but just trust me, okay? Just stick with me here. 23, "And I said unto him, Lord, the Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing." This is Moroni. I'm going to read that again. "And I said unto him, Lord, the Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing. For, Lord, thou hast made us mighty in word by faith, whereunto thou hast not made us mighty in writing. For thou hast made all this people that they could speak much because of the Holy Ghost which thou hast given them, and thou hast made us that we could write but little because of the awkwardness of our hands. Behold, thou hast not made us mighty in writing like unto the brother of Jared, for thou madest him that the things which he wrote were mighty, even as thou art, unto the overpowering of man to read them. Thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weakness and stumble because of the placing of our words, and I fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words." Verse 27, which we're going to pick up, which you see on your screen now. "And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness." Now, there's a lot to unpack here in Ether 5, 23 through 29, but I want to start out by saying that Moroni, not only does Moroni recognize that he has a weakness, but that he also expresses his concern that his weaknesses will be detrimental, that his weaknesses will have consequences detrimental to the cause in which God has bestowed upon him through writing. I know that we have heard these verses a lot. I know that sometimes, it happens to me too, I hear verses that I've heard a lot, and I kind of just go through the motions. But I want to go back to verse 28, if you'll give me your brief attention, and something you've heard a lot. I want to go back to verse 28. It says, I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. This verse tells us very plainly that the Lord gives men weaknesses. We can recognize right away a couple things about this. There are things that we individually, each one of us, will struggle with or be weak in because they are given to all men. I have weaknesses. You have weaknesses. Bob, I hate to tell you, you have weaknesses as well. I know, you're giving me that face, but you do. But why? So that men may be humble. We know that, we read that. But let me point something out about verse 28 that I really like. That we know that we are given weaknesses to be humble, but it doesn't say that your weaknesses will make you humble. Rather, it says that those who make the choice to humble themselves before the Lord because of their weaknesses will be made strong. 1 Peter 5:5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We see it here in this story. God gives grace to the humble. We're going to go back to 2 Timothy, where I just read, in just a minute. But I wanted to start out there. We started out there in verse 1 through 3, where it talked about strength through grace. In fact, if you go back to this story, which I encourage you to read, if you go back to Ether, chapter 5, and you keep reading, and you go to verse 38, it says, and this is on page 749, it says, and because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. Moroni exercised the opportunity afforded him by the Lord to recognize his weakness, to humble himself before the Lord, and the Lord granted unto him strength in writing and eternal life. In other words, Moroni recognized his weaknesses. He humbled himself before the Lord, and the Lord, through his grace, made him strong. We're getting warmer. So, now we're getting to the meat of the sermon. I have to stop at this point and ask myself a couple questions. And I'm going to ask you the same. Moroni took his concerns before the Lord. He took his weaknesses before the Lord. So I'm going to ask you now, do you really want to know your weaknesses? Are you truly concerned with the weaknesses in your life? And do you really want the Lord to show you your weaknesses? When the Lord shows you your weaknesses, what are you going to do about it? In Luke chapter 11, two verses, 9 and 10, it says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What are you going to do when you ask and he shows you? Are you prepared for the answer? Do you care enough to ask? time for me to be real with you guys. I am weak. In fact, I'm very weak. I've had this on my mind a lot. I am soft. A lot of times, I feel like I am a legitimately soft and lazy Christian. I have it tremendously good. And honestly, I can't think of an adjective to adequately describe just how good I have it, just how tremendously blessed I've been. And yet here I am. I feel soft. I feel weak. Do you recognize weaknesses in your life? I recognize mine. That I savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I want to go back to 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, and just read this highlighted verse that I've underlined. And then we're going to skip and go ahead and keep reading. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." This grace, this divine influence of the heart. How do we receive, how can we be partakers of God's grace? How can we be partakers of this grace? Well, we just read that Moroni was able to be a partaker of this grace. He humbled himself. He went to the Lord and he recognized his weakness. He took his weaknesses to the Lord, and he was willing to be molded the way that the Lord intends through his Son, Jesus Christ. We can see that the Lord can do a strong work of sanctification, and we know that we can be strong in the Lord. We can have confidence in the Lord that he will do his refining work in us if we allow, but that takes something on our side. Just like it tells us in Ether that we read, it's not that we are given weaknesses to be humble, but we have to choose to humble ourselves to make those weak things strong. Again, 1 Peter 5:10. We read 1 Peter 5:5. I'm reading 1 Peter 5:10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." There is a promise of strength. I don't know if, while I've been talking, that maybe you've started to think of things that you are not particularly strong in spiritually. Do you realize we have a promise of strength? I mean, Moroni went to the Lord and he said, these words, that we have a weakness in writing. When you read those words that are powerful and living, I don't see a weakness in writing. The Spirit was with him during those writings. These things are powerful. The Lord strengthened him in his weakness. He was willing to do the work. He was willing to humble himself, to go before the Lord. There is a promise of strength that awaits us. A work of sanctification. A work of trial by fire, of purification. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 6 and 11 through 13 and 15 through 16. Instead of just reading the chapter straight through, which I could, I'm just going to highlight some verses. It says, "The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abide faithful, he cannot deny himself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness." They're now going to read 19 through 21 and 24 through 26. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." The Lord knows you. He knows those that are trying to follow him, that want to follow him, that have a desire to follow his son. He knows this. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the things that you're going through. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you have picked up on any theme throughout the verses that I've just read, this requires action. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We have to make hard choices. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, have to do the hard thing. I have a hard time doing the hard thing. How much work? How much more could the Lord use me if I would just do the hard thing? If I would allow that work of sanctification, that work of being refined, to really dig in, to really work, ready to be used by God and prepared unto every good work. How much more could I do? This is not easy. This is hard. Mosiah 1, 118 through 120. This is one you've heard again a lot, but I'm going to back up to 118 as we read through this. It says, but men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit, apologies for the typo, seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. Our brother Mark talked about these things this morning. I appreciated his openness and his candor. Mark openly said that there are things that are hard for him to do. Look at verse 119. It says, for the natural man is an enemy of God. Then look at verse 120. I can tell you right now, those things are not, those don't come natural to me. Those things are hard. Mark said it's hard for him to separate the sin and the evil from the person. He said he has a hard time separating that. He said he knows that he has to work on being not easily provoked, or that it's difficult to be a respecter of persons. He said that he isn't where he should be in its heart. And do you know what else he said this morning? He said, it's not easy. It's not easy. The funny thing is, most of all in that verse 120, I sit there and I think, okay, I know that if even I just went to my wife and said, hey, do I do all these things pretty well? I guarantee you she's going to probably not give me the answer that I want to hear. Just being honest with you. Is that right? Yeah, and she's shaking her head. Thank you. These things don't come easy to us. We have to do the hard thing. I need to do the hard thing. Deny myself. Take up my cross and follow Jesus Christ. He set the perfect example. Suffered things that are unimaginable. I need to be stronger. Do you? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. How far can we go if we don't do the hard things? If we aren't ready to be used, are we willing to do the hard thing? Okay, let's play a game. You guys want to play a game? Let's play a game. I see Grandpa here. I see Uncle Alvin. I see Rick. Let's play a game that is called Make the Bishops Nervous. Are you guys ready? Let's play a game. Okay, this game is called Make the Bishops Nervous. I need Avery, come on up here. Come here, Avery, I need your help. You said to volunteer. And I need DA. DA, come on up here. Okay, let's play a game called Make the Bishops Nervous. Okay, Avery, here's what I need you to do. Avery, I need you to take this box and just go stand right back in the middle of the aisle there, right in front of the doors, okay? Make it nice and visible so DA can see. DA's tall enough. DA, why don't you come stand right up over here, okay? Now, DA, we're going to, like I said, this game called Make the Bishops Nervous. This involves a trusty 9-iron, okay? This involves a multi-layer hitting pad for golf, okay? Now, I know it's spring. I know that you're an avid golfer, and not to mention, not only are you an avid golfer, I also know you're a left-handed golfer. Now, come on over here, DA. You better get some warm-up swings in, because you're going to need it, okay?
Can we turn off the live
stream? No. Please keep the live stream on. Okay, now, here's what we're going to do, DA. Here's the goal. In the game called Make the Bishops Nervous, what you need to do is I need you to, whatever I said on this platform, you have to hit into that box all the way in the back. Now listen, you got Dan on one side over there, you got Bob, who's not looking like he wants to play, okay, now, and look, you even got your mom in the back. Now don't hit anyone. I need you to thread the needle right down the middle, right into the box, okay? Got it?
I don't feel confident.
Okay, now you might want to get a couple swings in before. Your left hand, that's a good old trusty 9-iron. There you go, perfect form. Looks like Tiger Woods already. Okay, so here we go. The first one. Bishops, are you ready? Okay. Now, Rick, is it okay if I hit this in the church? Do you think that's okay? Okay, but you're not worried about me hitting this balloon. Okay. Why are you not worried about me hitting this balloon? It's just going to float, right? It's not going to go that far, right? It's probably not going to hit Cohen in the face or anything, right? Okay, DA, I'm going to set this down. Now listen, you get one shot. I need you to hit Avery. You can even use her as a backboard right into the box all the way back there. You got it? Okay, now DA, give her a good whack here. Now, let's see if this she'll stay. See if she'll stay. Okay, now I want you here. I'll even tee it up for you. Now you give this a good whack and get it. Oh! Okay, well, that was disappointing. You got a lot to be desired. Okay, so that didn't work out so well. Now let's take the example of our balloon here. This balloon is, well, soft, right? We know the goal is for DA to be able to hit it, strike it from up here all the way back into that box, and he didn't even get past the first row. Well, when you hit this balloon, it deforms a lot. It takes its own shape, right? It's not very controllable. You can't put a lot of spin on it. Okay. Round two of Make the Bishops Nervous. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Now, this is a wiffle ball. Now, DA, let me ask you this. Are you comfortable hitting this wiffle ball? Okay. So why are you not comfortable hitting this wiffle ball?
It's going to be really hard to control it. Now, trust me.
It's going to be hard to control it and trust yourself. Has anyone thrown or hit a wiffle ball before? Lots of people, right? Okay, if you throw a wiffle ball, what does it tend to do? It fly off to the side, fly wherever it wants, right? It's not very hard. It's plasticky, but I mean, I could smash it in my hand. I could set it down. Now, DA, I bet if you did feel comfortable, because I know you're an avid golfer and you're very good, especially left-handed, that you could, without a doubt, hit this and put it right into that box, right?
Eventually,
full confidence. What's your confidence level of being able to do it the very first time?
Left-handed.
Zero. Okay. That was round two of Make the Bishops Nervous. Let's play our third and final round of Make the Bishops Nervous. Are you ready? Here we go. Now, DA, this is a very nice brand new Callaway golf ball. This is one of my own golf balls. Let's not break a window with this. Now, DA. Now, Rick. Now, how, what, now, hold on. Now, Rick, are you okay with me having DA hit this left-handed in here? No, okay, okay. Okay, now, Rick, now let me ask you a question. Why are you not comfortable with DA hitting this golf ball in here?
Because he said he wasn't comfortable.
Okay, okay, you know what? DA, I'll take that. Thank you very much for your service. Let's give DA a hand. Good job, DA, good job. Okay. Now, Rick, let me up the ante. I am left-handed, okay? I have played golf. That doesn't mean I'm good, but I've played golf, right? Okay. Now, would you let me put this golf ball down right here, right on the fairway, and would you let me take a whack at this right back there at Avery?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because you can control that
ball. Okay. So Rick said he would let me hit this golf ball. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to hit this golf ball in here, but I appreciate why you would let me do it. A golf ball. Do you guys know why there is dimples, even just the dimples, on a golf ball? Golf balls are made specifically soft or hard. The compression rate, the number of dimples on a golf ball, all precisely engineered so that a golfer who knows what he's doing, who is a master of his craft, is able to put that golf ball exactly where he wants it. A professional golfer could take a simple 9-iron like this, and he knows the distance of where he can hit this ball. He knows the amount of backspin that that ball is going to have when he hits it. He knows that if he strikes it, when he strikes it, he knows where this ball is going to go. They practice. He knows. He is able to control this ball. He is able to put it where it wants to go. The golfer needs something that has been tested, something that has been hardened, something that has been engineered to work. This golf ball has been engineered to do the job. It is perfect to do the job that he wants it to do. Those golfers will switch golf balls specifically because they know one golf ball does one golf ball does the other, and they need it to do a specific thing. I'll move my golf stuff here. Stick with me, sorry. So there is a big difference between what we saw DA taking a whack and barely making it a row with a balloon as compared to being able to do it with a golf ball. We need to be the golf ball. How far do you want to go? Avery, go stand back there real quick. How far do you want to go? Now, if you want to be used, if we want to go far, if we want to be put where we want to be put, we have to do the hard thing. Avery, no matter what I do, I could throw this balloon, I could throw this golf ball, and I guarantee you, 10 out of 10 times, which one am I going to make, or at least get to you, a lot closer? The golf ball. I can stand here, and I can hit it, I can throw it, and it's going to get there, and I don't even have to leave. If I have the balloon, I can get it to the box, but it's going to take a lot of pushing, and it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of concentration to make sure I don't drop it all the way back to the box. We need to make sure that we are the golf ball, not the balloon. The golf ball is hard. It is engineered to do the work. It is made to do a specific purpose. Avery, thank you very much. I appreciate your help. With one strike, this golf ball can not only go back to that box. With a 9-iron, this golf ball could go over 100 yards, past the windows, past the churchyard, over across the street into the next lot. This can go farther than the goal that I had set right there. This golf ball was hard. It is made to go far. We have to do the hard thing. We have to be ready to be used. I cannot be soft. I cannot be week. Wherever that balloon went, I think Avery has it, you take that balloon, you squeeze it, it's soft. It's weak. This is not soft. This is not weak. When we do the hard thing, when we display humility and humbleness and we allow the Lord to work in our lives and refine us, we let that work happen. That is the work of sanctification. We progress spiritually. We progress spiritually so that we can get stronger, so that we can go farther. There's a progression I showed between the balloon and the wiffle ball and then the golf ball. There is a progression. We can let the Lord do His work in your life to make it to where we can do those things that are hard. Do those things that are hard. So, I want to share with you a list. This list is not meant to intimidate you or seem overwhelming. I firmly believe we are all on the spiritual path, and we may all be at different places in our lives. We may be at different understandings. We may be at different maturities. And I'm going to present this list to you so that we can identify, not to identify things that you're doing wrong. I'm not trying to tell you guys that you're doing anything wrong, but rather I want us to read through this, and I want us to potentially identify one or two things where we can toughen up, where we can not be soft, where we can recognize our softness, our weakness, and we can toughen up to be used by the Lord so that we can go far. Before I pull up this list, though, it's only fair that I pick on myself first. So I'm going to give you two examples, and then we'll pull up the list. Is that okay? Okay, first one. As many of you know, last week was our rally, which I heard was absolutely fantastic, but I was not here. I was recovering from wisdom tooth surgery. I had 4 wisdom teeth taken out. They even had to take out some skin and stuff. And Friday to Sunday was terrible. Yeah, I was in pain. And as Amy was coming home from the rally, I texted her. I said, please, if there's anything that you will do, I'm begging you, will you please stop at the store and get me a carton of the best chocolate ice cream that you could possibly find? I can't eat hardly anything, but please, just the best chocolate ice cream that you can find. She said, sure. They went to the store. She brought home the most expensive, quality, tasty chocolate ice cream that you could buy. I scooped out a little bit, and I sat there, and I savored it, and I enjoyed it. My jaw is killing me. My teeth are killing me. I'm questioning all my life choices at this point, but at least I get to enjoy just a little bit of chocolate ice cream. So I put it back in the freezer. I go to bed. The next day or two progresses. I wake up, and I'm feeling a little better. And this time, I want to actually eat a bowl of chocolate ice cream. It sounds fantastic. I cannot wait to dig into this bowl of chocolate ice cream. I go into the kitchen to get this chocolate ice cream, and I'm literally rounding the corner into the kitchen, and I stop dead in my tracks, and laying right there on the counter is the lid to the chocolate ice cream. It's just sitting upside down on the counter. And my worst fears realized, I knew right away that ice cream was gone. I said, who ate the ice cream? I'm not going to name names. There are 3 people in my house. I will let you decide, okay, that will remain anonymous. I want to tell you something. I started to get a little mad. I know what you're thinking, okay? I know what you're thinking. It's just chocolate ice cream. I know. Trust me, I know. But I had that natural, something I was looking forward to so much, I can finally eat. I want a big bowl of chocolate ice cream, the cool ice cream on my, oh, it's so good, and it's gone. The people who got it for me, who knew that it was for me, ate it all. Okay, now, some of you, I said that we each have our own weaknesses. Some of you, that may not be a big deal. You would think, no big deal, just chocolate ice cream. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's because I was looking forward to it so much. I don't know if it's because it was only one of the only things I could eat that I finally was able to sit down and devour and enjoy. I couldn't tell you, but I started to get mad. I started to get after the girls. And I said, "Who ate my ice cream?" And as I literally had to stop myself, I had to stop myself from getting angry, from getting upset that someone ate my ice cream. When you stop and you say it out loud, it sounds a lot sillier, but I promise you that it was a big deal at the moment, okay? I have a weakness. I can be quick to have a temper. I have to recognize my weakness. I need to do better. Even in a situation like that, it's just chocolate ice cream. As they'd like to say, why cry over spilt milk? Well, why cry over eating ice cream? When I was a kid, second one, the girls will know this and Amy will know this. I told you I'm just going to be frank with all you guys. Sometimes when I'm driving, probably some of you do too, I get a little irritated with people that are driving in front of me. People that are driving slow, people are irritating me. I'm trying to get to work. I got emails waiting for me. I leave the house. My phone blows up. I got people messaging me. I need to get to work. I want to give you an example, a story. It's a weakness of mine. Sometimes I think, as Mark mentioned, the golden rule this morning, I had a piece of paper and I wrote down, maybe I need the golden rule etched onto the windshield right in front of my face. When I was a kid, Grandpa, my grandfather, Frank Fan, would take me and my brother Trevor and my cousins Courtney and Lindsay down to Branson and to other places on trips. And Aunt Becky, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I remember in the van, we were driving and we were coming up on these people, and these people were going real slow. And on the way to Branson, I think back then you had to cut through Collins and it wasn't as easy a drive. And there was these people that were holding us up. It was going slow, holding up a line of traffic. And instead of my grandpa doing what I did or what I do, out of frustration, you know what he told us? He said, "You got to watch out. Those people are part of the," do you remember, Aunt Becky, what he said this is? "The association." He says, "Those are the association." I said, "Grandpa, what's the association?" He said, "The association is a group, a cabal of people. And what they do is they just drive slow and drive bad just to try to upset other people. It's the association. Whenever you get older, you got to watch out for the association." And do you know what he did? He turned it into a game. From then on, all four of us kids in that car, when we were seeing that or something like that, we were probably made up some silly chant or something that we were doing about it's the association. Or we recognized it. We were always on the lookout now. We wanted to run into these people now because we knew they were part of some elite cabal around the world whose sole purpose was to irritate drivers on the road. He made it into a game. He flipped it on its head. That's not natural today. That's not natural then. That's not natural to me. That's one of my weaknesses. So now that I shared mine, I want to go through this list. And this is what I want to do with this list. I want to encourage each one of you, a challenge, if you will. I want to challenge you, and I'm going to give you some homework. Take one thing from this list, just one. Pray about it. And God willing, make it a point of emphasis to change. Make it a point of emphasis to be stronger, to not be soft or weak, to be strong. If you don't see something on this list, maybe you're sitting there right now, and as we go through this, maybe there's something that the Lord is pricking on your heart right now. Maybe there's something the Lord's putting on your heart. Maybe the Lord's bringing something to your mind that you know is a weakness. Think about it as we go through this list. First one, prayer. We are told in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. It involves having a prayer, being in this prayerful state, this prayerful mind, having this prayer on your heart throughout the day. Being in the state of instant communication with God. Are you there? Is that you? Is this one of your weaknesses? Our brother D.A. recently, just a couple months ago, put out a study guide, a read-through, a literally hand-holding through a reading of the New Testament and portions of the Book of Mormon. Gave us a roadmap of studying, of reading. Are you doing it? Is it important to you? Is this a weakness in your life? Faith, hope, and charity. If you were here this morning, our brother Mark preached on this. Very good topic to bring up. And if you were here, then you know the importance of these three. Without charity, we are nothing. The scriptures tell us to pray fervently that we may have the love of Christ. Have you done that? Are you doing it? Is it a weakness? Is it important to you? Thankfulness. Do you go to the Lord telling Him that you're thankful, truly thankful? Much like praying without ceasing, we're telling to be thankful always, being thanksgiving. Is this something that you have a weakness in? What about patience? I think we know from my driving story that this is one of my weaknesses, not wearing that as a badge of honor, but being honest with you. I struggle with patience. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? What about witnessing or testifying? What about I'm not even talking about the guy at Quick Trip. What about with each other? The Lord has blessed you in your life. What about standing up in a service and bearing your testimony? There are testimonies from people in this room that I remember ever since I was a little kid. The smallest testimonies that you wouldn't even think. In fact, I bet if I called these people out right now, they wouldn't even remember. But I do. You have no idea how your testimony or your witness affects just the people in this room. Just those that may be weak or struggling with something. You have an opportunity to witness, to testify. What about fasting? On our bulletin right here, April 4th through 5th, it says fasting and prayer services. We have a solemn assembly coming up. Has it been on your mind? Have you thought about it? Are you going to participate? Is it worth it to come in an attitude of fasting and prayer? Do you do it? Do you want to be here? This morning I heard our brother Milo, as I walked by his class, talk about this in a Sunday school class. He said, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Is this a weakness of yours? Attendance. I had this in my notes. I didn't have enough room up here, but much like the Solemn Assembly in attendance, I said, do you want to be here? Is attendance one of your weaknesses? Time. How do you use your time? Is your time used wisely? Which leads into things. Is one of your weaknesses entertainment? Is it take too much of your life? We read in the scriptures about how in the last days there will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What about your phone or social media? I'm guilty of this. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. I spend more time on my phone and social media than I should. I don't care if it's me following sports or whatever, no excuses. I know that I need to do better. It's a weakness. What am I going to do about it? Spouse, marriage. Are there things that need to be talked about? Are there issues between your spouse or in your marriage that are going to be hard to confront? Things that maybe are going to be uneasy to talk about. Is that a weakness? What about conflict resolution? What about with your own brothers and sisters in this room? What about with other people in this church? Are you going to do the hard thing? And what else? What else can you think of? What other things can we think of that we know that maybe we are weak, that we are soft, that we need to be stronger in? I asked you earlier, and I'm going to ask you again, do you want to know your weaknesses? Do you want to ask the Lord? And are you prepared to receive the answer? When you ask, He's going to tell you. He's going to show you. Are you ready for that? Are you willing to do the hard thing? I'm going to close. Sorry, Steve, I'm a little over time. I'm going to close. This is the DA wouldn't hit the ball, so we had to stay a little longer, okay? Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. I'm going to leave you with this scripture to close. My prayer for each one of us is going to echo verse 16 and in through here. My prayer for each one of us. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Thank you for your time.
I do thank you for that sermon.